This third article by the Reverend Dr. Tongoi dives deeper into the attributes of the righteous rich as evidenced in the Bible.
Dr. Tongoi is the Executive Director of Root to Fruit, a leadership development consultancy in Kenya, and author of Mixing God with Money: Strategies for Living in an Uncertain Economy. His decades of involvement across Africa in the Church Mission Society Africa, the Samaritan Strategy, and the Navigators has given him unique insight into how both business and mission can be a blessing to the nations.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique contexts on the African continent.
Business as Mission, The Righteous Rich, by the Reverend Dr. Dennis Tongoi. Introduction. The first article of this three-part series, entitled Can Business Be Mission?, argues that the driving force behind the expansion of God's kingdom is not human-centered initiative, but God's mission, Missio Dei. It explains that business and mission are not mutually exclusive terms, but also cautions against using business as an access vehicle for evangelism into a community. The second article, entitled The Historical Impact of Business as Mission, highlights inspiring historical examples of Christians who successfully lived out their mission in the marketplace, confirming that business can truly be a redemptive force in society. This third and final article presents business as mission as an alternative to the prosperity gospel and dives deeper into the attributes of the righteous rich as evidenced in the Bible. The prosperity gospel versus business as mission. The African continent is being rapidly urbanized, and many people are struggling to make ends meet. Especially young people are moving to the cities where they are being courted by the prosperity gospel, a belief that religious faith manifesting as positive speech, together with generous donations to a particular church or preacher, will increase their health and wealth. When observing the visible trappings of material opulence, it seems that the actual beneficiaries are a certain class of clergy and politicians. Considering that successful business people create wealth for themselves and others, business as mission presents an alternative to the prosperity gospel. Church leaders should help their congregations understand the difference between wealth created through hard work, taking risks in business and creating jobs, and the wealth promised by the prosperity gospel, which devalues work and emphasizes superstitious giving. Economic production facilitated by business is important not only because it keeps the lights on and provides livelihoods, but also because it allows people to use their talents and skills for the benefits of others. The double burden of wealth creators. The idea that the Bible should be read from the perspective of the poor is largely due to liberation theologians who point out that the Bible favors the powerless over the wealthy. In some cases, this has led to an anti-business sentiment. Unfortunately, the exploitation of the vulnerable is visible in every sector of society, not just in the business world. But because of the common belief in Africa that you cannot become wealthy without exploiting others, the accumulation of wealth is often seen as greed and thus discouraged by communal norms, which acts as a significant socio-cultural barrier for aspiring African business people. At the same time, having wealth creates endless expectations from extended family and friends, which many business people feel unable to meet. Successful business people can have a deep sense of isolation in their communities because of this double burden. Therefore, business as mission professionals require a fresh sense of self-awareness. There are many warnings in the Bible directed at those who grow wealthy at the expense of others, but there are also many examples of the righteous rich, which is a fitting description the newly rich Africans can adopt. Six attributes of the righteous rich. 1. Not finding their identity in their wealth. The examples of Job, Abraham, and Joseph of Arimathea as biblical examples of the righteous rich have already been highlighted in the first article, It should be further noted that despite Job's wealth, he does not find his security or identity in his wealth. If I have put my trust in gold, or said to pure gold, "You are my security," if I have rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortune my hands have gained, I would have been unfaithful to God on high. Job 31, verses 24 to 28. If I have denied the desires of the poor, or let the eyes of the widow grow weary, if I have kept my bread to myself, not sharing it with the fatherless, if I have seen anyone perishing for lack of clothing, or the needy without garments, and their hearts did not bless me for warming them with the fleece of my sheep, for fear of God's splendor I could not do such things. Job 16-23. Thus it is possible for Job to be rich, while not letting this fact undermine his most important relationships, first between him and God, and second with the other needy members of his community. The spiritual warfare involving Satan in the background, which led to the loss and later regaining of Job's wealth, has been the theme of many books. Today, many African business people are anxiously aware of the spiritual dimension. Christian business people who attend church seeking divine intervention remain alert to the possibility that their rivals may be consulting witch doctors in attempts to gain a spiritual advantage, and thereby attract more customers. Being aware of these dynamics and having a mature understanding of business as mission within the church provides an opportunity for equipping business people with biblical spirituality that can meet the challenge of the traditional African religious perspective. 2. Providing for the poor in a dignified way. Then there is the account of a wealthy landowner named Boaz, who marries a destitute foreigner named Ruth. In this biblical story, two concepts that characterize the righteous rich are demonstrated. First is the practice of gleaning, which allows the poor to have some form of dignified livelihood by going into a recently harvested field and collecting whatever grain remained for their own needs. This is a contrast to the prophet Ezekiel warning an affluent and wayward Jerusalem. Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, and laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Second is the concept of having a kinsman redeemer, a family member who is responsible to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble, danger, or need. Ruth 4, verses 5 to 8. Both of these concepts demonstrate that wealth creation does not have to be exploitative. Rather, it can take into account that there are vulnerable people in society who can be provided for without compromising their dignity. 3. Keeping eternity in mind. The Bible contains little information about Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, although he is described as a carpenter, Mark 6 verse 3 and Matthew 13 verse 55. Thus, Jesus worked as a carpenter until he was 30 years old. Traditionally, we picture Jesus more as a remote, more of a monk than a manager, but Jesus was actually a business person for much longer than he was a preacher. And Jesus is as concerned about the salvation of the wealthy as he is concerned about the salvation of the poor. He does not overlook the spiritual needs of the rich, as shown in his engagement with Zacchaeus. Not only does Jesus visit Zacchaeus in his home, he also acknowledges Zacchaeus' salvation as a result of the latter's repentance. We see his attitude to wealth transformed after receiving the gospel. He turns to Jesus and says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Luke 9 and 10. When a rich young ruler asks how he can gain eternal life, Matthew 19 verses 16 to 24, Jesus indicates that worldly wealth is often an obstacle to repentance and makes it difficult for the rich to enter God's kingdom. 4. Having a humble attitude. James, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, devotes a substantial amount of his writing to the rich-poor divide. He exhorts the poor to take pride in their high position, and to the rich he poses the challenge to take pride in their humiliation. James 1 verses 9 to 10. Essentially, he reverses the social norms and reminds both rich and poor that their present circumstances are temporary. He also calls on the church not to favour the rich over the poor and rebukes the rich for abusing their economic and judicial power. These rich are definitely not righteous. They even slander the noble name of him to whom you belong. James 2, verse 1 to 7. He reminds those who carry on business and make money that their success is not as a result of their own skill, but is from God's hand. Therefore, they cannot boast about their plans for the future, but instead should recognize God by saying, "If it is the Lord's will," James 4, verses 13 to 17. He warns the rich who fail to pay their workers, James 5, verses 1 to 6, and speak out strongly against a self-indulgent lifestyle focused on the love of things rather than the love of people. According to James, righteous faith has to be demonstrated by good works, repeating the imperative to love your neighbor as yourself, James 2, verse 8. 5. Not using generosity to gain public favor. The first recorded public judgment of sin by God in the New Testament is in Acts 5. After selling a piece of land, Ananias and Sapphira offers the proceeds to the church, pretending it to be the full sum while secretly keeping some of the money back for themselves. God is displeased with their deception and they both die instantly. This instills great fear in those who seek to use their wealth to abuse the newfound culture of generosity in the early church. The point is that personal financial decisions made in private by business people have public consequences, and that trying to use generosity to buy public favor is not righteous in the eyes of God. This is why mature biblical spirituality must be at the center of business as mission. 6. Using wealth to support spreading the gospel. Throughout his life, Paul is shown to conduct his business as a tent maker and his gospel mission in a sustainable manner. He isn't greedy, nor is he dependent on others. On the contrary, he is generous. Paul tells the church in Ephesus, "These hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions." He reminds them that it was more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20, verses 32 to 35. He does not depend financially on any of the churches he planted, with the exception of the non-Jewish church in Philippi, regarding which Paul asserted, "Not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and the receiving, except you only," Philippians 4, verse 15. As he awaits his trial before Caesar, Paul lives in his own rented house in Rome, Acts 28, verse 30. He certainly must have had considerable resources, for he was able to maintain a long and expensive judicial process, to travel with ministers, to gain a respectful hearing from provincial governors, and to excite their cupidity. This does not mean that Paul does not lack material things at times. Indeed, he endures more troubles than many of his generation, including being hungry and shipwrecked. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 25 to 27. Paul recognizes that there are both just and unjust ways of gaining wealth. For example, he argues that someone cannot become an elder or leader in a church if they pursue dishonest gains, 1 Timothy 3 verse 8 and Titus 1 verse 7. He urges everyone to work hard to meet their personal needs, Titus 3 verse 14 and 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 12, and commands the wealthy to be the righteous rich, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 18. Conclusion. Businesses are the creators of economic wealth and opportunity, precisely the resources of which the poor are in desperate need. Business as mission seeks to use these wealth creation and work opportunities to advance God's mission. Yet some still wonder if rich people can really be righteous. Some mistakenly believe righteousness always leads to riches. It does not. God sometimes blesses people with riches, as we see with Abraham and Job. Some unrighteous rich think they are righteous, such as the rich young ruler Jesus meets in the Gospels. The righteous rich can become the unrighteous rich, as we see with Solomon. Conversely, the unrighteous rich can become the righteous rich, which is what happens to Zacchaeus after he encounters Jesus. Embracing the concept of the righteous rich can undergird the practice of business as mission in Africa. It would therefore serve the church well to increase her capacity and focus on discipling marketplace professionals, the majority of her members, to grow in their faith and become the righteous rich, creating wealth for the common good and advancing God's kingdom in the world.
Thank you for joining us. This episode of Reframed was brought to you by Ziwani, a community of business leaders who partner together to live out their kingdom calling in the marketplace within Africa. Ziwani is a Mergon initiative. To know more about us, visit our website at ziwani.com. That's ZIWANI.com.